Welcome to Let's Talk Micro.
Hello everyone, welcome to a bonus episode of Let's Talk Micro. I hope you are doing well. As you know, we normally publish on Thursdays, but this is an extra episode regarding Microbe 2024. And those of you in the microbiology community and those of you that follow the podcast, you know that last week Microbe took place in Atlanta. And as I did in 2023, I recorded a live episode. So in this episode, I talk about my experiences. You know, I was involved in two events. One of them was Battle of the Brains, and the second one was an in-depth symposium about Sulbactam durlobactam. So I talk about my experiences with both of those. And I also talk about what I did. Of course, you know, I attended some podcasts and I went over to some posters and I talked to people. So I talk about the posters that I liked. And one of the things that I saw this year was AI, of course. So with the use of Gram stains and reading cultures and things like that. So of course, I had a great time in Microbe and I hope to attend next year. So I hope you enjoy this episode. And of course, you know, if you have anything to share, any posters that you liked, any talks that you liked, please, you know, send that feedback via social media or via emails. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as I said, had a great time at Microbe. I met some great people. It's always great to meet listeners. So thank you so much for the support. So let's go ahead and listen to this episode. And of course, on Thursday, we have a regular episode of Let's Talk Micro. Hi, everyone. This is Luis Plaza from the Let's Talk Micro podcast, recording live from ASM Microbe 2024. I am recording this on Sunday, June 16th, live from the Georgia Convention Center. At this point in time, pretty much the podcast, not the podcast, at this time, pretty much the event is kind of over with some conferences, the exception of some late conferences, and there's going to be some events on Monday morning. But all the exhibitions and all the posters have been completed by this time. So I am happy to be here with you. And just like I did last year, I just wanted to take a few, you know, take some time and go ahead and talk about my experiences at ASM. So as you, those of you that are tuning in, so ASM Microbe, it has an annual event, and this is just the largest meeting of microbiologists, and it takes place on different locations. Last year, it was in Houston, Texas. This year, in Atlanta, Georgia. As always, you know, Thursday was great. Great reception. And then on Friday, one big difference from last year, as I kept mentioning on previous episodes of the podcast, this year I actually participated in two events. Last year I was attending for the first time and I didn't participate in anything, but I just listened to some great talks, met some great people, saw some great posters, and this year was no exception. One thing that those of you that have attended Microbe before, you know that there's a lot of events, a lot of things to do. So you really have to stay organized, and there's an app for that so you can pick events. But the reality is that you're going to miss a lot of events because there's no time to do them all. But having said that, there's always a little bit of something for everyone. So you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do. Maybe you want to talk to vendors. Maybe you want to see posters. Maybe there's like that one conference that you really want to attend, or a couple. And you pick those and attend. And the rest of the time, it's always great to network and connect with people. So my event on Friday was the Battle of the Brains. And this is an event that's been around for a while, from what I understand. And then just basically, you get some teams of about four team members, and they can be composed from different areas of the microbiology realm, let's say. For example, my team was the microbiology influencers, composed by some what I call A-listers, right? This is like, for me, someone that has worked in the bench, let's say, for a long time, getting to be on a team with these individuals, it was a pleasure. It felt like a Hollywood moment, let's say, being surrounded by so many A-listers, right? So we have Dr. Diana Hernandez from the industry. We had Dr. Bobby Pritt in our team, very known parasitologist from the Mayo Clinic,
Also, she has that blog that are creepy, wonderful parasites. And maybe some of you that do parasitology maybe follow her, but she's definitely very known and respected in the microbiology community. And then there was also Rich Davis, who's a director at a hospital in Washington State. So that was my team. And then we competed against other teams, which was two other teams, the reference lab, and then there was also the public health lab. And you get to choose the theme, and you can wear shirts of any sort of costume that you want to kind of, you know, just create like that team atmosphere. In our case, we had shirts and we walked to music. I really loved it. I have to say, like, the questions are high level, but if I have the opportunity of getting invited again, some point in time, you know, A, I will happily accept, and B, I would, now I know what kind of questions they can ask. So maybe, you know, sit down and maybe do a little review and maybe pay a little more attention to things that are going on, let's say in media, like in social media and any publications that are taking place. So, but at least, you know, like I said, now I know what questions to look for. But overall, it was great. You know, we placed second place. I really enjoyed it. It can be anything from questions like from parasitology, from mycology, bacteriology. Those of you that follow the podcast from the American Society for Microbiology, there's one called The Editors in Conversation with Ellie Thiel and Alex McAdams. Definitely a very known podcast. So they got to ask some questions, but it's just basically you sat down, went like over about 22 questions, you answer them. So with three teams, the winner from each round got to participate in the final round, and that's where we place second place. Overall, definitely grateful for the opportunity. Oh, and of course, you know, my team, the wonderful microbiologist and co-host of the AMR series, Dr. Andrea Princi, but she was the alternate. So she didn't get to participate, but definitely still part of the team. You know, Andrea's lovely, and I always get a chance to see her at these events and, you know, see her in person and connect. So that's always good. So overall, very happy with this event. So of course, right, I'm a podcaster. I cannot be at ASM Micro without listening to some podcasts. They always do some live recordings, which they will post at another time. But I definitely invite you to check out the ASM website. They have definitely a wide variety of podcasts if you haven't listened to them, but I'm sure you have, since they're very popular. They've been around for a long time and they do well. So, you know, you have that whole series, This Week in Microbiology, This Week in Virology, This Week in Parasitism, Editors in Conversation, Meet the Microbiologist, Microtalk. So overall, a lot of podcasts. When I attend Microbe, I definitely listen. Last year, I listened to one taping of it, and then this year, I actually got to listen to two of them. That was definitely very neat. So one of them was that I attended was Meet the Microbiologist, where they invited Dr. Nicole Dubilier, and she is the director of Symbiosis Department of the Max Planck Institute for Marine Microbiologists. So she's a marine microbiologist, right? Definitely, it seems like a whole different world that our clinical microbiology. I had a chance, if you want to learn a little bit more about marine microbiology, check out the episode that I did with Dr. Ocean. So she talked about her expeditions and research. It was definitely a very interesting episode. And then I also attended an episode of This Week in Microbiology. And the topic was, could fungal pathogens outsmart us? And it was basically talking about how something like, right, like The Last of Us and Cordyceps, you know, this was something that was actually, you know, realistic. So they discussed that. It was just very, very interesting. Of course, as you know, I did an episode about Cordyceps with Andrea Speck. So I definitely invite you to check that one out if you haven't already. And the guest in This Week in Microbiology was none other than Dr. Arturo Casadevall, which is a distinguished professor of molecular microbiology and immunology. And he's also a published author. he definitely was discussing that. It's always very interesting, right? And it just makes us think. We see this episode, it's about a fungus, let's say, taking over. And maybe those of you that are microbiologists, you see, like, typically we don't get a lot of infections with fungal pathogens unless we're maybe immunocompromised and the temperature factor, right? That there's a different temperature where they thrive. So, but if those gaps were closed, let's say, could that happen? So it was very interesting listening to that. So I definitely invite you to check out that episode when it comes out so you can get more information and detail. You know, that will be good. So I got my fix of podcasts that day, and that's always great. So it's always some great posters that I saw, and I just wanted to mention a few of them that I looked at, very interesting. And one of them was titled Analysis of Drug-Resistant Bacteria Detected in Students of the Department of Clinical Laboratory Science. This is from Tokyo University. Authors, and I don't want to butcher the names, but Mitsuru Matsumura, S. Grosu, M. Asahara, and J. Sasaki from the Tokyo University in Tokyo, Japan. So it was very interesting. They tested some rectal swabs from third year students at the Department of Clinical Laboratory Science at Tokyo University in 2022. And then of all the bacterial strains isolated from the swab samples, they targeted two suspected of producing ESBL for bacterial identification, and they discussed their results. And, you know, they did ESBL testing, and, you know, they did some further testing, and they determined the ESBL genotype. So it revealed that have the resistant genes of the CTXM9 group. Another one very interesting was the isolation and identification of antibiotic-producing bacteria in New Jersey soil samples. And the author for this was Diana Malenkova from Seton Hall University. One topic that I saw in this meeting was that, AI, right? We're definitely hearing more and more about AI and its potential applications in the laboratory. And one of them was from Dr. Kendall Bryant, who from Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. And his talk was titled "Picture Perfect Plate Reading." Nowadays, you know, right? We have automated instrumentation that does plating right. Things like the BD Kiestra, where pictures are taken, and you know, there's an incubator. The setup is done by the instrument, and then you kind of the positives are flagged, and pictures are taken, and you look at those, and then from there, you know, do proper testing. But he was mentioning using those instruments and then building some algorithms where you can they can kind of like start, you know, identifying the colonies and doing the testing, doing identification and doing AST, you know, like maximizing the amount of work that AI can do, and then maybe leaving some cultures that maybe the algorithm doesn't fit, and those will have to fully work up manually. Right. So that definitely it's just something that's it makes us think. I mean, there can always be the worry, right, if eventually AI will replace us. But definitely we still need people to operate instruments. But that's just, at the same time, you know, it brings us the question in mind that maybe we need to do something to alleviate some of the work. Right. I think a centralized microbiology laboratories increase more and more. It is definitely the volume increases, right? So, and then you have things like people burning out, fatigue, overwork. And this is something that I discussed in the podcast before, that you get, you know, the training is not the same in the lab for as it is in, it is not the same in the microbiology lab as it is in other areas. For example, like in hematology, chemistry, maybe blood bank. And I mentioned this before, right? So if you're in hematology, you work your hours, let's say you work first shift, and then someone from second shift that has the same training as you, they come in, they take over, right? There's like a maybe like a typical scenario, there's a 30-minute overlap, and then you do your pending log, let's say, or whatever you have to troubleshoot and fix, and then you're gone. But as maybe some of you that work in the microbiology lab, you might be able to identify with this, But in the lab, you know, you, micro lab, you come in first shift, you're working the one bench, and there's no one, maybe in a, even in first shift, there's not that many people trained that can read that particular bench. I mean, maybe they can help out with Vitek or doing Molotov or things like that. You know, they can help out with setting identification and susceptibilities. You know, I mentioned the Vitek because I work with it and it's not an endorsement, but any other instrumentation. But you're basically stuck with that number of cultures, right? So that's something that you have to finish it. So let's say if you have 60 cultures or 80 cultures that day, you have to finish them all. And that can leave some very long days. And right? I think it's very common knowledge that microbiologists in the lab, these is never an 8-hour day, right? It's always 10. So that's one big difference from other areas. So maybe at the very least, something have to be done. I don't know how AI is going to factor into this. And I'm going to talk about AI with gram stains, which is very cool. But with this, like, you know, picking the colonies and doing susceptibility. And anyway, at some point in time, you know, I would like to definitely talk more about this. Maybe something can be done to alleviate some of that. I mean, that will be helpful in my opinion. But like a fully automated thing like that, that's probably far away. But who knows? But definitely one thing when it comes to that, you know, AI and reading plates is that one point that Dr. Bryant brought up was that when it comes to working things up in the lab, let's say a lot of labs do things differently, right? There's always some variation. You typically follow the ASM guidelines, but there might be a little variation here and there. And you go to one place and there's do something different, right? Not everyone, some procedures that might be older, some other places might be using it. So coming up with an algorithm might be something challenging, I will say. It have to be custom made for that particular facility. So that's something to think about. So in the continuing the line about from Dr. Bryant's talk, there was a very interesting topic about where they use ChatGPT. And just basically, there were some pictures of gram stains, and then they were shown to ChatGPT, and then eventually seeing how the responses were. And that was definitely very interesting. I mean, I think overall, there's definitely a room for improvement, but definitely it shows how AI has been starting to be applied in the lab. I mean, I know that I did an episode previously where an AI algorithm was used for reading parasitology slides, right? So that was something that definitely helped because it reduces the amount of time that those texts are looking at negative. That's a big thing, at least here in the United States, where parasite infections, they're not as prevalent as other parts of the world. So a lot of the samples tend to be negative. So that can lead to text sifting over stuff over and over again. And that can be, you know, that can be challenging because you get tired, leads to burned out, and it's not fun sitting in a looking at a microscope for 8 hours, right? Might get a headache or get cross-eyed, and definitely challenging. So that was something interesting. But that was a recurring theme. I also saw another poster where they kind of implemented AI to read some gram stains, you know. And the poster with ChatGPT was, and just circling back real quick, it was called Evaluation of Open Source Artificial Intelligence Platform for Reading of Microbiology Smears. And this is from George Washington University, author Siham Hatab. So that was definitely very interesting. And then I also saw some other posters about that doing some, right? You already have kind of like systems like this when it comes to hematology, where it takes pictures of the slides and so implementing AI, perhaps one of the things that they can, and some of the results that I was looking at was that you could see maybe that they detected more organisms, you know, especially those that are in their rare area, and that sometimes, you know, they might get missed by a person. And those of you that read gram stains, you know, that in recultures, you know, that a lot of times they don't match with the culture. So you're going in and you see 3+ GPC and okay, you have Staph aureus, 2+ GNR, and then, or you see NOS and then you have a full growth of the plate. So that's definitely something that we have to work on? I don't know, man, perhaps different training. I mean, it is challenging when you're in a large facility and you're reading 40 gram stains. So that's something to think about. But a lot of times, you know, they don't match. So maybe with that system, and that's something that I will definitely learn more about, and I will bring more information to you in the podcast about AI and gram stains and see how what other places are doing. Because this is something that definitely, when it comes to that, you know, gram stains can be definitely labor intensive. And if they can have something to alleviate that, maybe you can have that tech, you know, you can have someone monitoring the pictures and seeing things, and it might make things a little bit easier. Maybe you can maximize the use of that microbiologist to do other types of testing rather than having someone sitting there reading gram stains all day. Other, you know, I saw a poster of note, and I'm not going to mention it because it hasn't been published yet, but it was very interesting. It was very interesting about a novel species that was discovered, and that's always, you know, very cool. As you know, I did an episode about that, which was episode 126, talking Variovorax duravernensis. So it's always fascinating when we see novel species being discovered. And that was a poster that I saw. I mean, especially now when places that are doing whole genome sequencing, and if you get a lot of volume and maybe you can discover a novel organism. So that's very fascinating. So stay tuned with that. I will definitely be working on an episode about that in the future, because that's definitely something very interesting. Another poster that I saw was about doing automated disk diffusion reading, and then comparing it to manual reading. As you know, that's something that it's a little labor intensive. It can be if you're susceptibility testing. I mean, the setup is not bad, but if you have a lot, the reading of them can be, you know, time consuming because you can fit many disks in one plate and then you have to read one by one. So maybe and I know that there are some places that's their method of susceptibility. But hopefully for that, you're going to have the staffing and the work setup. So to read that, but that was for something very interesting. And today I saw some interesting posters about evaluating some different breakpoints. And I'm just going to go over some general terms here. But as you know, the CLSI M45, which is the one for fastidious organisms, that you can find information on carnivacterium, lactobacillus, bacillus, pastorella, and organisms like that. It hasn't been updated in quite a while. So last update was in 2016. I saw some posters regarding trying to update some breakpoints. So that was definitely very cool. And of course, I am not going to go into much detail because some of these items, they haven't been published yet. So I'm just going to leave it on general terms. But I saw some of that. And those of you that know, you know, when it comes to a lot of these organisms, sometimes, you know, you don't have enough data. Let's say, for example, the non-fermenting or when you go to the CLSI, the non-enterobacterales, they don't have, there's no data on disk diffusion. You know, there's only MICs because there's no more information. So when you do testing on those, you have to do gradient strips or some other method to get MICs. They don't have any data on disk. So that's something that's can be challenging. And also, since it hasn't been updated since 2016, you know, maybe we need to see how much that information has changed, right? How those breakpoints have changed. I mean, you get the CLSI M100 that it gets evaluated yearly, right? There's constant changes to it. So that's something that, but there's always great people working on that. So I'm just going to leave it on very general terms because some of these things that I noticed, they haven't been published yet. So out of respect for that, I'm just going to leave it like that. Anyway, what I have to say is I really enjoy the posters. You know, there are so many. I wish that there was more time to see them, but great, great content. And all I can tell you is that out of some of these posters, I'm going to be making some upcoming episodes. So stay tuned. I don't know when specifically, but I am I am going to be, I already reach out to people and I'm going to try to bring some content to you of that. This year, I kind of attended less talks that I did last year because I was really trying to connect, right? So I'm trying to let people know that the Let's Talk Micro podcast is out there, that it's a source, that you can use it. So I definitely talk to people, you know, get handed out stickers, information about Let's Talk Micro. And the coolest thing that always for me is that I get to meet people that listen to the podcast. And this time I met more than last year. And I'm very grateful for that. So if you're listening to this, thank you so much for the support. This means a lot. I'm doing this to bring more information to that we can all grow as microbiologists, and you can have something in one place that you can access, that it can be easy to understand. And doing this is very fulfilling to me. So I'm happy that people are listening to it and meeting someone and they tell you, hey, you know, I listened to it. I like it. It's helped me a lot. That's always very rewarding, right? I love doing this. So I appreciate your support. And of course, I had a second event, which was my abstract that got accepted, you know, as I mentioned. And I talked about this on social media, but my employer has no relationship to the with the podcast. But we did a study, basically, where we evaluated sulbactam durlobactam, which is a drug that it is used to treat what is called CRAB, carbapenem-resistant Acinetobacter baumannii. Isolates. It was approved by the FDA last year, and now it's ready for use. And so we compare that against cefiderocol, another agent that's used to treat on multi-drug resistant isolates, one of them being carbapenem resistant Acinetobacter baumannii. And we compare that. So we did sulbactam durlobactam, compare it against cefiderocol, and also a synergy of ampicillin sulbactam and ceftazidime avibactam. And with the results, sulbactam durlobactam ended up being the superior agent. So it did higher that. And with the numbers, you know, cefiderocol was in the 60th percent. And then sulbactam durlobactam was in the 80-ish percent. So it was definitely higher and it did better. So, as you know, Acinetobacter baumannii, it's a very resistant organism. Definition, it can be very resistant, and carbapenem resistant Acinetobacter baumannii is defined as being resistant to most antimicrobials, including the carbapenems. This is a very serious infection, serious organism, because, you know, it can be recovered in hospital equipment. And as you know, this is something that is trending, that is normal with non-fermenting gram-negative rots. That's a big across-the-board kind of. A lot of the organisms are, they tend to survive hospital equipment. But it was great. It was a great feeling, you know, standing there and sharing, you know, my abstract about that. And of course, my employer has no relationship, like I said, but it was, we got a lot of stuff accepted. So I'm very proud of my team at Advent Health Orlando that we're definitely doing a lot of great things in the direction of our director, Dr. Alexander. So shout out to everyone. So definitely we're keeping up the good work. We got to show all the cool things that we're doing to help in patient care. So I'm very happy about that. And that, my audience, is the end of the live episode. As always, you know, I'm always happy to talk with you and sharing some information with you. I enjoyed this event again, another wonderful microbe. So I'm looking forward to the next one. So in the meantime, continue bringing that passion to what you do. It's so important. You do such great work. And remember, as always, stay motivated, stay safe, and of course, continue talking micro. Until the next time. Bye.